Text 14, Chapter 7, Canto 2. Scheduled Incarnations. This morning we're going to hear some descriptions about Lord Nrsimhadeva, the personality of Godhead assumed the incarnation of Nrsimhadeva in order to vanquish the great fears of the demigods. He killed the king of the demons, Hiranyakashipu, who challenged the Lord with a club in his hand by placing the demon on his thighs and piercing him with his nails, rolling his eyebrows in anger and showing his fearful teeth and mouth. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The history of Hiranyakashipu and his great devotee son Prahlad Maharaj is narrated in the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Hiranyakashipu became very powerful by material achievements and thought himself to be immortal by the grace of Brahmaji. Brahmaji declined to award him the benediction of immortality because he himself is not an immortal being. But Hiranyakashipu derived Brahmaji's benediction in a roundabout way, almost equal to becoming an immortal being. Hiranyakashipu was sure that he would not be killed by any man or demigod or by any kind of known weapon, nor would he die in day or night. The Lord, however, assumed the incarnation of half man and half lion, which was beyond the imagination of a materialistic demon like Hiranyakashipu, and thus, keeping pace with the benediction of Brahmaji, the Lord killed him. He killed him on his lap, so that he was neither killed on the land, nor in the water, nor in the sky. The demon was pierced by Nrsimha's nails, which was beyond the human weapons imaginable by Hiranyakashipu. The literal meaning of Hiranyakashipu is one who is after gold and soft bedding, the ultimate aim of all materialistic men. Such demoniac men who have no relationship with God gradually become puffed up by material acquisitions and begin to challenge the authority of the Supreme Lord and torture those who are devotees of the Lord. Prahlad Maharaj happened to be the son of Hiranyakashipu. And because the boy was a great devotee, his father tortured him to the best of his ability. In this extreme situation, the Lord assumed the incarnation of Nrsimhadeva, and just to finish the enemy of the demigods, the Lord killed Hiranyakashipu in a manner beyond the demon's imagination. Last sentence. Materialistic plans of godless demons are always frustrated by the all-powerful Lord. End of purport. End of Hiranyakashipu. So the verse says specifically that he came to vanquish the great fears of the demigods. But of course, when Hiranyakashipu was killed, the fear of the demigods for Hiranyakashipu was replaced with the fear of the demigods for this feature of anger of the Lord. And try and try and try, each of the demigods came forward offering wonderful prayers to the best of their ability, and the Lord's anger did not subside. Even Lord Brahma, who is narrating this, was present, and he then pushed Prahlad forward. You go make a prayer, because he appeared for you. The verse says to vanquish the great fears of the demigods, but the demigods understood his real purpose of appearing was to protect Prahlad. So you go offer the prayers. And Prahlad's prayers satisfied Lord Nrisimhadev. Prahlad said, I'm not afraid of this feature of you because I know this feature of you is for the demons. And the feature that I know for the devotees is your very affectionate. In Brihat Bhagavatamrita, there's some encounter with Narada and Prahlad, where Narada is searching after the answer to the question, who is the greatest recipient of the mercy of the Lord? So he goes to visit Prahlad. And when he visits Prahlad, he's jumping up and down in great excitement. You are surely the greatest recipient of the mercy of the Lord. Just like Narada says in Brihat Bhagavatamrita, just like a mother cub shows affection for her baby cub, when you came before the Lord, he not only patted you on the head, but he picked you up and licked you with his tongue all over your whole body. Such affection the Supreme Lord has for you. Surely you're the greatest. Who has had that happen? You're the greatest recipient of the Lord's mercy. He went on to describe, once after you had become king, you were making a journey to go visit Lord Narayan. And as you were traveling along the path, you saw on the path a mendicant wearing a bow or carrying a bow. And you thought, deceitful wretch, taking the position of a mendicant, carrying a bow, I'll show you, I will defeat you swiftly. And challenge the person to combat. But when he was fighting with him, the fight went on for days and neither was victorious. But because Prahlad was a Vaishnav, every morning before he would go to battle the next day, he did his puja, worshipped his deity. And then one morning, when he went onto the battlefield to face this opponent, he saw that the garland that he had offered to his deity that morning was being worn by the mendicant. And then he realized, this isn't a mendicant, this is my worshipable Lord. And he fell at his feet, praying to the Lord for forgiveness. And the Lord said, no, I wanted this. This is, who can fight with me and not be defeated but my devotee? This was fun. And then Prahlad said to the Lord, but I've taken a vow that I will defeat you. What about my vow? And the Lord said, for one who carries such love for me as you do, I am already conquered. So Narada said, surely you are the greatest recipient of the Lord's mercy. Not only you conquered the Lord, but your grandson, the son of Virochana, Bali Maharaj, he also conquered the Lord. He conquered the Lord on several occasions. After Bali was bound by ropes, the Lord, before everyone, took a vow, I will give the kingdom of Sutala to Bali, and I will stand at his gate and protect him. Once when Ravana, who was conquering all the planetary systems, decided that he wanted to go defeat Bali, Vamana was standing at the gate and he kicked Ravana and he went flying. Ravana never came back. And then on another occasion, in the Skanda Purana it's mentioned, there were 10 demons who ganged up together and made a fierce attack on Dwaraka. And so a group of residents of Dwaraka went to seek assistance from Lord Vamana, knowing although he's dwarf-like form, he's Lord Vishnu, very powerful. So they went to the gate to seek the Lord's assistance, and the Lord said, I will not go unless Bali gives his permission. Durvas Muni said, tell the Lord, he was with the group, tell the Lord that I'll fast until death if Bali doesn't agree. Bali didn't agree. Doesn't say what happened to Durvas Muni's threat that he would fast till death. But he upheld the word of Bali Maharaj more than his own sense of protecting his own devotees in Dwaraka. Prahlad, surely you are the greatest recipient of the mercy of the Lord. Of course, Prahlad denied it. He gave a good answer for everything that Narada had said to glorify him. What kind of devotion is this? I go to see the Lord and he presents himself and I don't even recognize him? Do battle with him for days? What kind of devotion is that? What kind of mercy is that? The Lord engages me in combat with him. And so on. So the feature of Lord Nrisimhadev, the pastime of Lord Nrisimhadev, is amongst the Leela avatars, is at least currently one of the most popular. Say Krishna, Ram, and Nrisimha, something. Maybe not necessarily. Different persons hold Nrisimhadev as the most attractive form. Like Prahlad said, because he gives protection to the devotee, and so the benevolent feature of Lord Nrisimhadev is what the devotees understand. And the anger feature of Lord Nrisimhadev is meant for the non-devotees. Tell a little story. One of my godbrothers, Sridhar Swami, he's now left this world. But at a certain point he found out that he had hepatitis C. His liver was shot. And the doctors gave him only a certain amount of time that he would be able to live. He lived much longer than that, but he did a variety of things to help his health. But One of the things that he did is he took shelter of Lord Nrisingadev. He got Nrisinga Shila, and every morning would worship his Lord Nrisingadev deity and chant Nrisinga mantras. And his room was right next to my room, so I could hear him every morning singing very, you know, chanting very loudly prayers to Lord Nrisingadev. He was very happy worshipping Lord Nrisingadev. Then one time, he went with his brahmachari assistant and disciple named Mayapur Das, and they were doing some service on behalf of Sridham Mayapur, the Mayapur project, with the idea of seeing what kind of dioramas or technology they could use to really make the Mayapur temple very, very attractive. So they went to Disneyland in Florida. The Epcot Center is called, a place where they have super technology and, you know, wow. So just to see what they had. So he parked his car in the parking lot, went into the Epcot exhibit and came back and looked in his car, and everything was gone. Somebody broke into the car. His computer was gone. His deity paraphernalia was gone. And his deities were gone. And just a few days later, he returned to New York and I said, Maharaj, I heard your everything was stolen. And he was like calm like anything. Said, you know, I can't understand how it is that you're so calm. I'm thinking the person that stole that stuff, computer, paraphernalia, and deities, that person's finished stealing the property of a sannyasi. He said, well, the computer, you know, I had a lot of data there, but I have a backup, and I'll get another computer. And as far as the deities, he said, from my worship of Nrisingadev, the Lord has some plan. He's very, very merciful. He just like wasn't disturbed. He's very merciful, and somehow this person is going to get that mercy. I said, I hope so, because I don't want him to see you get the other feature. The verse here says, not only he pierced him with his nails, but his eyebrows were rolling in anger, and he was showing his fearful teeth and mouth. Ugra Nrisingha. So the Lord has different features. Prahlad Nrisingha and Lakshmi Nrisingha and Yoga Nrisingha, and you know, those that are expert in worship of Lord Nrisingadev, they know these different features and the moods of these different features. And just like Radha and Krishna, they're different pastimes of the Lord. And according to the worshiper, the Lord manifests different features. I'll mention one other thing about our Lord Nrisingha deity in Mayapur. The Lord Nrisingha deity in Mayapur was, the plan was to get such a deity when there was an attack. Some dacoits came onto the property armed with guns and tried to steal the Radha Madhava deities that were on the altar, the small brass Radha Madhava deities. Because Madhava looked very, very golden, they thought maybe gold. They came with guns. And devotees fought. They fought with guns. They had guns on the property. And, you know, it was a big scene, because where the temple is right in the middle of a big Muslim area. And, you know, it could have been an uproar. So during Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's time, a similar thing happened at the Sri Chaitanya Math, and Bhaktisiddhanta secured a Nisringa deity for worship, for protection of the Dham. So the devotees decided in Mayapur that they would also get a Nisringa deity. So they went to South India and found one of the most renowned Nisringa deity makers. And they, one devotee who was on this journey to see the Murti maker had a dream of Lord Nisringadev the night before they were to meet the Murti maker. So he described to the Murti maker the form in which he saw Nisringadev. And the Murti maker paused and said, "Is this the form?" and showed, that's it, you know, pictures of other Murtis that he had made. Then, so he got the height and the dimensions, and he began making the Murti. Some time passed, and it was one of the, because it's a large Murti with great detail, it was taking, you know, 6 months and more. So, somewhere in South India, there was a man who was envious of Prabhupada. And he found that the devotees from Mayapur were having a Murti made. So he went to the Murti maker and said, "Don't make this Murti for ISKCON." He said, I have to make the Murti for ISKCON. They've already paid me. "I'll pay you twice. I'll pay you three times. I'll pay you four times. Give me the Murti." He said, "I can't do that. This is a..." "I have to make it for them." And the man was going around trying to, you know, get other people to influence the Murti maker to not make the Murti. And then he heard that the form of the Murti was this Ugra Nisringa. And it's a specific, it's Sthana Nisringa. It's the Lord standing before he pounced on Hiranyakashipu. His ears, just like the Bhagavatam describes, his ears were standing erect, just like a cat ready to pounce on a mouse or something. And his hands are in this position with long nails. His nails are extended like, you know, like a cat can have their paws like this, or nails extended. Showing his teeth. And the person heard that anyone who has worshipped this form of Ugra Nisringa, Sthana Nisringa, they get destroyed. Which is exactly what he wanted. Just please make the Murti. Do it quickly. And the man continued. And as the devotees were picking up the Murti, they told the story about the man, the envious man. He said, "But don't worry. When you worship Nisringa along with another Murti, in your case Radha Madhava, Nisringa takes on the mood of the main deity of worship. Everything will be all right." And everything is all right. So this is just some interesting and devotional detail about the worship of Lord Nisringadev. The Ugra Nisringa form is not to be worshipped by grihastas, only to be worshipped by brahmacharis. But so in Mayapur, only brahmacharis worship the deity. Practically, only brahmacharis. No, they have some grihastas that worship Radha Madhava. It's mainly brahmacharis that do the deity worship altogether. And just here in Simachalam, there's very proximate to all of you, very important Lord Nrisimha deity. And just on this point of the mood of the deity, the deity is covered in chandan, except for a short period of time. Is it just like the week around Nrisimha Chaturdasi? Chandan is removed? Just one day. Just one day. Really? I thought it was a week. Akshaya Tirtha, not Nrisimha Chaturdasi. And when the chandan is removed, there must be a big mob of people. Have you been there? Everyone? Packed, right? Packed. And when you see the deity form, can you see the details of the deity form? And so the deity is a combination of two deities, which Nrisimha and Varaha. And the reason that the deity is a combination of Nrisimha and Varaha is? Huh?
Prahlad Maharaj made a request to the Lord. He would like to see him in both these forms.
That's what the pujaris say. Okay. There's another explanation also. Prahlad requested the Lord to take this form. So, of both Varaha and Nrisimha. There's a detailed description of this. When one of the ways to attempt to kill Prahlad was to take Prahlad up on top of a mountain and push him off the mountain so he would fall onto the jagged rocks below. But the Lord caught Prahlad, so he was unharmed. And, at least according to one description, where that took place was here in Simhachalam, and at that time the ocean was just at the foothills of those mountains. And so, assuming the appropriate form, Lord Varaha, who also rescued the earth from the bottom of the Garbhadak ocean, he rescued Prahlad. And so in his form of Varaha, he caught Prahlad. And so the deity form is this combination of Varaha, Nrisimha. It's one narration. The idea of presenting this is that the Lord, in all of these incarnations, he assumes an appropriate form for the situation, and according to the mood of love of the devotee, he assumes that corresponding form. So, I could go on to the next Gajendra Moksha is the next, the Lord appearing to rescue Gajendra. But I'm thinking what I'll do. It's 7 o'clock. And this is our last class together, so I'm thinking I'll just give some extra time for questions and see if in the course of the whole visit some thoughts have been stirred that you'd like to get addressed. Some extra time for questions, answers. And if not, I'll go on to the next verse. Anyone like to raise a question? Gaur-Gopal. Very well. Anything? Yes.
Maharaj's pastime.
Which pastime? Prahlad Maharaj, yeah. Prithu. Okay.
It was known that Vena is a sinful, unbegging
What happened?
His father, Vena.
Yeah.
He was sin, Anjali was sinful.
Vena was sinful, yeah.
He was hurting Krishna.
Yeah.
So it was extra mercy and compassion for him to choose a king so that he can regret and he can overcome.
Yeah. What's your question?
Question is that,
Was it extra mercy? That's your question?
Yes.
Well, he's the personality of Godhead. So he came in an appropriate form at an appropriate time to do the appropriate activities suitable to the situation, because Vena had stopped all sacrifices. The earth had restricted its production. And so, wanting to correct that situation, the Lord appeared in the form of a king who would reestablish the correct practice in an ideal way, and show by his example and the Lord's ruling potency, Palana Shakti. So, yeah, mercy. I'm not sure if I'm answering your question, though. It's mercy comes in appropriate ways. I guess that's I'm answering in a different way. I'm answering your question, but mercy comes in an appropriate form. You know, we were discussing yesterday about Lord Kurma. He came in an appropriate form. So many things were accomplished with one thing. So many personalities and entities and beings were to be manifest, and so the Lord made a very attractive arrangement to manifest them. Churning, and to have churning you need a place, resting place. So he became the resting place. A tortoise, hard shell on his back, and scratches, you know, so appropriate in very attractive and merciful ways. So he's merciful anytime he appears. And each manifestation is appropriate for the situation. That's the idea. Like this explanation of Varaha catching Prahlad. At least according to that explanation, that version. Lord Vishnu can assume any form, and he assumed appropriate form. Does that address your question? Not exactly. Then you make your question very clear, because I'm not sure.
American citizen, they choose knowing that he's sinful. So it was an act of compassion by Brahmanas, and later he was killed and
Yeah, that's the Leela. That's how it happened. So from the body of a most sinful person, the personality of God had appeared. Because he was so sinful, still he appeared as his son? That was your question? That's your question?
Still he was given a chance to become king and
regret. I don't follow the question. Do you follow the question?
He's saying, he's asking, although it was known that the king Vena is such a sinful person right from his childhood, still the Brahmanas opted to make him the king. Was it compassion shown by the Brahmanas upon Vena by making him king? Were they giving him an opportunity to rectify himself?
Oh, I didn't get that at all from the question. Not exactly. You know, it was better to have. You know, he's powerful, and he'll keep the dacoits down. He kept the dacoits down. He kept everybody down. He kept the Brahmanas down. So it was a mistake. That wasn't, you know, wasn't with the thought, well, maybe he'll get it together. Maybe he'll improve himself. It wasn't an act of, let's see, we'll give him an opportunity, and if he fails, we'll kill him. It wasn't just like that. To achieve one thing, they made that move, and it was the wrong move. At least that's the point that Prabhupada emphasizes, I can say that. They understood we have to have a king, because without a king, this is what's going to happen. And he's the best we have. Put him in.
Maharaj, when we hear discussions on the process of devotional service, then we use our, when we are hearing, there is some processing that is going on in our own minds, especially in relation to our own application to the process of devotional service and how we can apply these principles to ourselves. And when we hear pastimes like this, it doesn't have a direct personal relevance.
It's different. That's right. I said this when we began this section. We're very accustomed to hearing about Abhideya again, Sambandha again, and Abhideya again. This is not that. It's the glories of the Lord. So it has another function. It's, and I've said it repeatedly, it's direct purification. Just the narration, the potencies included in the Lord, in His name, in His qualities, in His pastimes, in His form, there's spiritual potencies invested in those vibrations, and they're acting upon the heart to purify and to attract the mind with thoughts of the Lord. I know that that's going on with me, just, you know, getting absorbed in thinking of these different forms of the Lord, you know, just reviewing, just happens. The mind becomes engaged. Manmana. It doesn't require processing. It just happens. Purification and attraction. And continue in an ongoing fashion, then it becomes a relationship. Attachment in a relationship. Yes. Microphone.
Because I know a couple came in and they visited Mayapur. They have taken the photographs of the Granda Simha and the Radha Mother. They have kept in their altar.
That's okay.
That's okay.
It's not they're not worshipping the deity form and offering. Their main worship is Radha Madhava, and we have Nisringa pictures on all of our altars. But if we have Nisringa Murti, I just had this discussion with Janani Vas. Best is Lord Nisringadeva has his own altar, as they have in Mayapur. At least, this is for temple worship, not home, at least then a separate simhasana for Lord Nisringadeva, not, you know, on a big altar with many deities. He has his own simhasana, his own. So that's enjoined like that in the process of deity worship. That's how it is to be done. In the home, the strictness is less, but that's a good standard to have if one wants to worship Lord Nisringadeva. And in a picture form, it's not a problem. But the Lord Nrisimhadev that Prabhupada gave us as, you know, pictures to worship is Lakshmi Nrisimha or Prahlad Nrisimha or the three of them. Now there's also, you know, Hiranyakashipu's across lap, and those pictures, you know, large paintings are in many temples on the wall. And people look and, what kind of religion is this? Western people that don't have any idea. Okay? Anything else? You have something? No? What are you pointing to? Oh, Lord Nrisimhadev. Okay. Right here. Go ahead.
What is that? So, last time, when Mataji got the eyes back, by the mercy of Lord Nrisimhadev.
I don't know the detail. That's not a. There was a pujari, brahmachari pujari. I don't know about the Mataji. I don't know the story of the Mataji. But there was a brahmachari pujari who thought, you know, the red eyes of Lord Nrisimhadev, they're pretty intense, along with his teeth and nails. And so he made an arrangement to have softer colored eyes placed. And then one day when he was in the midst of his puja, he heard a voice, something to the effect of, "Return my eyes." He looked around because it's a small little altar area, and there's only one entrance, and it's four walls and ceiling and floor. It's all stone, black stone. And there's only one door, and the door was closed, locked from the inside, and he heard the voice, "Return my eyes." And then something like a couple days later, the same thing happened. So he went and asked Janadivas, "How do I understand what just happened?" He said, "You have the eyes replaced, I approve, but the Lord's telling you, He wants you to put them back. Better do it right away." And so he did. Now there's something else about someone's eyesight, but I don't know the detail of that one. They're publishing a book just about the Jagannath stories. Lord Jagannath doing different things. And Pankajungri, this is one of his favorite. He can go on for a long time. Jagannath stories, but they have a whole, they're, in time they'll have a whole book just of Lord Nrisimhadev. Reciprocating, the idea is that the deity reciprocates with the devotees. You approach the Lord in a personal way, He reciprocates in a personal way. Okay. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki Gaur Premanandi.